When is the government coming? We need gasoline. With gasoline, you're going to bring food and gasoline and clothes and gasoline to run generators. Bring us generators. Bring us something we can eat. We're going to die if we get killed with the weather. We're going to die. We're going to freeze. We have no cars. President Obama, please listen to us down here. We are going to die. You don't understand. You've got to get your trucks here on this corner.
Buckle your seatbelt. It's time for another episode of the Prepper Recon Podcast. Whether your plan is to bug out or bug in, CampingSurvival.com has all of your preparedness needs, including fish antibiotics, long-term storage food, water filters, bug-out bags, and first aid kits. Use coupon code PREPPERRECON for 5% off your entire order at CampingSurvival.com.
When disaster strikes, it's too late to prepare. PrepperRecon.com offers MOLLE-compatible individual first aid kits for your home, auto, or bug-out bag. These kits have everything you need to address a traumatic injury, including an Israeli battle dressing, quick clot, EMT shears, suture kit, Steri-Strips, tourniquet, ACS chest seal, tough strip bandages, gauze, and so much more. $89 includes shipping. To buy your individual first aid kit, go to PrepperRecon.com and click the store tab at the top of the homepage. Order today before it's too late.
September is National Preparedness Month, and one of the things that we Christians may need to prepare for is actual armed conflict. Welcome to A View from the Bunker. Our guest is the host of the Prepper Recon podcast, PrepperRecon.com, and he's also authoring a line of novels in a new genre, what you'd call prepper fiction. His new book is the third in a series called The Days of Noah. This is The Days of Noah, Book 3, Perdition. We welcome back to the bunker Mark Goodwin. Mark, thanks for joining us today.
Derek, it's so good to be back on. Thanks for having me.
This is a real exciting read. I'm only partway through, but it jumps in at the speed of a roller coaster and doesn't really let up. Lots of explosions. This is the kind of fiction I think that men would probably appreciate more than women. Just speaking personally, I tend to have more explosions and car chases and stuff when I write fiction than my wife, who tends to write more about people sitting around and having coffee and donuts. But there is quite a lot of action in The Days of Noah. And again, it starts off with almost a literal bang. How likely is it, in your view, that Christians are going to face a time when we have to take up guns?
Well, I guess 10 years ago, if you would have asked me, you know, will anybody ever go to prison for being a Christian in America, I would have probably thought no. But I guess Kim Davis's ordeal has changed that for everybody. So it's looking more and more like we are the new persecuted class in America. And I don't expect that trend to be reversed anytime soon. We've seen, of course, the bakers and florists and wedding chapels and all of them facing civil trials for refusing to perform services for sodomites and same-sex marriages. So I don't know. At this point, it's if we continue the trend, and I don't see anything that's going to reverse it, it's starting to look more and more likely that we will be pushed to that point.
Mm. The protagonist of the book, Noah Parker, is married to his wife, who aptly named Cassandra, and I think we discussed this in our previous interview. Cassandra, of course, in Greek mythology, was the oracle who was doomed to not have anyone listen to her ever.
Right.
Although it seems in the days of Noah, finally people have awakened, and Noah is finally on board and understands the seriousness of the gravity of the situation. Based on where we are now, what kind of thought process, how far-fetched, and I guess maybe this is another way of asking the question I just asked, do you think, how wrong will things have to go from where we are now to get to the point where Noah and Cassandra Parker and their friends are in the Days of Noah series?
Well, in the first book, I sort of picked it up at today's headlines, and I just sort of projected it forward into the future for the next few, you know, hopefully it takes a little longer than it did in Noah, because it was a matter of months from book one to book three. So I hope we've got a little bit more time than that. But I don't know. I think the next election's coming could be a big mile marker for us. If we get somebody like a Bernie Sanders in there, I think that we could see the persecution of the church really, really pick up, and things to get really, really rough in a hurry. Otherwise, I think that we might have another 5, 10, 15 years. I don't know.
I haven't paid that much attention to Bernie Sanders, really, because I just thought Bernie Sanders was a phenomenon localized to Vermont. But apparently the Democrats now have, well, Hillary Clinton, for all the money that she is spending, is finding that people just really don't like her. What is Bernie Sanders about, and how much of a threat does he really pose to people of faith?
Well, he calls himself a socialist, which when you strip it out, it's really communist, because the Democrats are actually the socialists. So we've already got that socialist party going with the welfare state and the things that they want to put forth. But I think that he would be looking for something that would be much more what we would call communism, as far as redistribution of wealth and state control. And and we've seen the marginalization and demonization of Christians, and I think that he would be somebody really good to push that to the next level, and I think that most any Democratic candidate would probably take it to the next level as well, but probably not to the same degree that a Bernie Sanders would. And I don't have a whole lot of hope for many of the Republican candidates as far as like turning back the dial and standing up for religious freedoms, to where the Kim Davises and the sweet cake bakeries and florists and so on and so forth are able to have their religious liberty. And of course, there was the Marine that was court-martialed, and I can't remember her name. It was a young lady, for having no weapon formed against me shall prosper. She had that verse on her desk, and she refused to take it away because she thought, I'm a Marine. I'm fighting for liberty. I'm protecting people's freedoms. I should have at least that basic First Amendment right. You know, obviously, on the military bases now, they've lost their Second Amendment rights. You know, most soldiers, that I don't think they realize that when they sign up, but on the bases, they're not allowed to be armed unless they're a military police officer. And in the most recent shooting in Tennessee, the soldier is actually being charged with a crime for discharging a weapon on a military installation, so in self defense.
I'm flabbergasted. That's the only word that applies here. They're charging him with illegal use of a firearm when somebody was shooting at them.
Correct.
Great googly moogly. Have we lost our collective minds?
We threw it away. We threw it away a long time ago. So that's why I don't think that my books are really that far of a stretch from reality. Hmm. And of course, we've had the MIAC report years back that labeled returning veterans pro-lifers, constitutionalists, labeled them all as potential terror suspects.
You know, the interesting thing about the MIAC report is I actually heard from somebody at MIAC back when I was hosting the Daily Talk Show in Columbia every afternoon, weekday afternoons. We covered the Jefferson City area, and I would open every program with a 5-minute what I called intelligence briefing, which is basically news stories that I thought were being underreported, the kind of thing that goes into the Skywatch TV daily reports now. And one of the gentlemen at MIAC contacted me off the air, wanted to know where I was getting my information, wanted to know what my intelligence sources were, because I was talking about things that they thought were were useful. Wanted to know where I was. I was like, well, Associated Press, UPI, Reuters, it's open source. You just have to pay attention. I just thought that was kind of interesting. I actually showed up on the MIAC radar at one point about 10 years ago. How awake are most Christians? How alert are most Christians to the changes that have taken place in our culture over the last 10 years?
I would say 90% of them either attend a church that is either apostate or asleep. And I think that you maybe have 10% that are actually going to a church where their pastor is actually involved in the fight and speaking out against these issues. And, you know, we've seen so many that were so quick to sign on to the gay marriage ruling that, you know, and embrace it think of it as a, you know, oh yeah, well, you know, that greasy grace syndrome that, you know, God loves you just as you are. And yes, he does, but he loves you too much to leave you like that. And then you've had this other huge segment that they're not apostate. They realize that that's sin and that they're not planning to perform, gay weddings, but they're not doing anything proactive to be ready for that, and they're not speaking out against the issues with Kim Davis and all of these other issues that we've got going on. So and they're just asleep, and I think that they're going to be really, really caught off guard. And I think what's going to happen is that they're going to find themselves either in civil court or criminal court. And I think that they're not going to be ready for that level of persecution, because I think that they haven't been paying attention, and I think that they've been lulled to sleep, and they think that we still live in a free country. Mm.
What do you consider to be the most significant changes over the last, well, decade or two as far as our freedoms as Americans?
Well, I guess the Patriot Act is huge. And mm-hmm. And I think that that's astounding, that all of the revelations we got from Snowden, and of course there was information about the data collection that was going on U.S. citizens wholesale prior to Snowden's revelations.
Oh, yeah. USA Today wrote an article about it in May of 2006. So, you know, 7 years before Snowden, the whistleblower whose name escapes me now, who pointed out that secret room at AT&T's offices in San Francisco was made public.
Right.
For some reason, it became a major story in, was it 2013 or was it last year? 2013, I guess it was. Which just leads me to believe that the fact that it came to light at all was just part of some ongoing turf war inside the intelligence community. That's just my theory. But
all of that information came out, and the American public did nothing. And, you know, we've been slaughtering babies in this country. You know, of course, the revelations of the sale of their body parts is just that much more horrendous. But since 1973, we've been slaughtering these children in this country to the tune of something like 3,800 a day. And American pastors don't see the need to get politically involved. So, I don't know what it would take to wake up the church, to wake up America, to wake up the remnant that still respects freedom and still would like to see, some semblance of what the greatness that this country used to have, restored. I don't see what would be the catalyst for that. If we don't see the murdering of 60 million children since Roe versus Wade, if we don't see, the wholesale collection of our data, I mean, do you think that anybody's really going to say anything when they start doing door-to-door gun confiscations, which have already happened? That happened in Louisiana after Katrina. So there's already precedent for that. And nobody did anything then. I don't know. I think that we're pretty much just, going to sit back and let the government do whatever they want to do.
Mm. And claim it, Romans 13 compels them to do so.
Yeah, which Romans 13 is about a legitimate government, and you know there's no authority except that which God's instituted, but our ultimate authority in this country is the Constitution, and we've got an entire Senate, House, and executive and judicial branch that are paying zero attention to that document. So if you want to talk about who the rebels are, who the anti-government people are, it's the people in Washington, D.C., because they're paying no mind whatsoever to the supreme law of the land.
It's time for a quick break, and we'll be right back. The dollar's lost over 90% of its purchasing power since 1971. Silver, on the other hand, has proved to be a very stable form of wealth preservation over the years. And where do you buy silver? Silver.com, of course. Silver.com offers fantastic prices on silver and gold.
All long-term storage food is not created equal. Folks who have been prepping for a while will tell you. There's a long-term storage food that you can eat if you have to, and long-term storage food that you love to eat. The apocalypse will be tough enough. Buy high-quality foods that you'll love to eat from Valley Food Storage at valleyfoodstorage.com.
In discussing the issue of preparation with Carl Gallups a few weeks ago, We had to get into the discussion of gun ownership, gun safety, and that sort of thing. And I'll have to pose the question to you because I know people will ask and want to know your justification for this. And to be honest, Carl, there were some comments at the YouTube page for Skywatch TV after the interviews with Carl Gallups posted. People who just don't either see enough of a need, first of all, or secondly, just have an issue with guns, period. In the days of Noah, there is quite a bit of violence. There's no other way around it. Armed resistance to an oppressive state on the part of those who are the heroes, the protagonists in the story. What is the biblical basis, biblical justification for armed resistance, violent resistance to an oppressive government?
Well, Paul tells Timothy that a man that doesn't provide for his own family is worse than an infidel or an unbeliever. And if you're going to provide for your family, what good does it do you to bring home a bag of groceries if you're just going to allow somebody to kick in your door and steal your groceries, rape your wife, and kidnap your child? You know, if you can't provide for their basic safety, I don't think that you're really providing for them. And I think that goes a step further than just providing for their safety as well. I think that you owe it to your family to be politically involved and to be part of the political process, at least part of the political conversation. You know, even if you don't think your vote's doing anything, I think that you need to be out there and you need to be in the fight on some level of trying to turn back the tide of what's happening to this country. And I think that's part of providing for your family is providing for them a decent country to live in and at least doing what you can to try to affect that change. And you know, certainly to provide for their immediate safety. You know, in Detroit, the 9/11 response time is something like 58 minutes for a high priority crime. So you're basically talking about somebody that's going to bring a body bag about the same time that rigor mortis is setting in. So you're not there. There's no way that that the police can keep us safe 24 hours a day. You know, we don't have enough police, thank God, to have one in your home 24 hours a day watching over you and keeping you safe, and it's not their job. That's our own independent responsibility.
What is that point? You use the phrase, you know, in the fight. And I suspect that's somewhat metaphorical, because in the fight, as you referred to political action earlier, can also mean being active for causes or candidates who uphold biblical values. But what is that point?
I think that the ministers in America, I think that that's probably where the brunt of the responsibility falls. You know, because we should have been able to take this back politically. But at this point, I don't really know what the solution is. You know, do we need a military coup? I mean, I don't know. Would that do any good if this president was elected by more than 50% of the people that turned out at the polls? You know, we were supposed to be a Christian country, but, you know, how many people that call themselves Christians have voted for the present administration and so many other administrations that have continued to allow Roe versus Wade to go unchallenged through some type of personhood act or some type of personhood amendment that would give the rights of a citizen to the unborn. Mm-hmm. You know, which would nullify the entire argument of Roe versus Wade once you declare that they're a person. You know,
an executive order by the president could have done it, and I'm talking about President Bush.
Yeah, and President Bush had for 4 years he had the House and the Senate fully Republican and did nothing. So, you know, there was, I don't know. I mean, I guess it's, I suspect that we won't really see a lot more Edward Snowdens and people that are willing to stick their neck out because the American public has just sat back and done nothing. And, you know, why should they, you know, why should I be forced to live in exile when nobody else is going to do anything, you know? And so I think that you know, we're getting ready to run out of heroes. And I think mm-hmm. we're getting ready to run out of people that are willing to stick their neck out, because when they do, the American public does nothing. They just go right back to sleep. You know, they tist and then go straight back to sleep, and they pay no attention to it. So I don't know. I don't think an armed conflict would really do anything. I think that the school system, the socialized welfare system, Hollywood has so brainwashed us, and the American pastorate has sat back and done nothing and said nothing and gave seeker friendly messages for so long that I think that it's pretty much too late. And I think that there's nothing but some type of a judgment type event from God himself that's really going to shake us up enough to wake us up and get us to pay attention. And I think that's probably still on the table. You know, we made it through Shemitah. But I still don't think that God's going to sit back and be mocked too much longer. And even if he were, going to give us another 100 years to continue poking our thumb in his eye, you know, we've got such a horrific monetary policy going right now. We've got so much debt mounted up. We've got so much instability in the markets. We've got, I've heard numbers now like $2 trillion in derivatives that are just waiting to blow up. And it just takes such a small catalyst. I was very surprised that we made it through a couple weeks ago when we had the 1,100 points down on the intraday trading on the Dow. I was very surprised that didn't trigger some type of an event. And I think that we had the plunge protection team fully implementing every tool at their disposal. They even brought in David Faber and Jim Cramer in the early show of CNBC, and here we are 1,100 points down. Of course, that's nearly 400 points over the largest down day on the Dow ever in mm-hmm. history, and they're both sitting there telling everybody that it's a normal market pullback and it's a great buying opportunity. Mm-hmm. There was nothing normal or great about it. It looked like the end of the world as we know it, but they talked the market off the cliff, you know, with their lies and deception, and everybody bought into it. And I guess it's bought us a little more time, but someday they're not going to be able to do that. Hey, Preppers and Patriots, that's the end of the first half of my guest appearance on View from the Bunker with Derek Gilbert. Tune in next week for the rest of the interview. God bless and happy prepping.
In the days of Noah, Book 3, Perdition. A global empire arises like a phoenix from the ashes of the world that was. The emerging order is unified by a new global currency and a single world religion, which are mandated by an imposed UN treaty. In the interest of unity and peace, a zero-tolerance policy for dissenters is enacted and strictly enforced. Hunted down like common criminals for daring to resist the state, Noah Parker's group will have to rely on faith and wits to endure the powers of darkness which are quickly consuming the earth. Buy your copy of The Days of Noah, Book 3, Perdition, by best-selling author Mark Goodwin in paperback, Kindle, or audio edition from Amazon.com today.